Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We will be, as a parish, stepping up our spiritual warfare with the enemy, and the greatest weapon that you, the laity, possess is the Most Holy Rosary. So we'll have a sign-up sheet in the back. We are asking men of the parish to commit to one night to come in on a monthly basis, to come in and pray the rosary with other men who are available or by themselves. A key for the church are made available. And you will pray all 15 mysteries. It is an increase in the offensive action of the church, at least here, against the machinations of the enemy, led by our conviction with regards to Our Lady Mary Most Holy having the devil's head under her heel. And so you can sign up and commit yourself for ideally once a month, if we have enough men, where you'll be in the church at 8 o'clock praying the Most Holy Rosary as a weapon of attacking the enemy instead of us always being on the defensive. So consider your participation as men of the parish in that end. It's a continuation of our group of men who place ourselves under the watchful guardian, St. Joseph. We see the reality that our Lord has warned from the very beginning that the enemy will be active in the church. From the very beginning, he warned the apostles there will be weed in the church and weeds in the church. And therefore, if any of us have been paying attention, we're not overwhelmed when we recognize evil in the church, because our Lord said it would be so. We may be surprised at the extent of the evil that Catholics can do, especially the clergy. But the reality is, our Lord said it would happen, because he knows how the enemy works. The devil's greatest enemy in the world is the Holy Roman Catholic Church. He's been trying to destroy it ever since the mystical body of Christ was formed out of the side of Christ at his crucifixion, being charged by the blood and water that flowed from his pierced sacred heart, and the church given her soul, as it were, by the Holy Spirit at the descent of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And so the enemy has been working against the church. The kingdom of God on earth is the church, and too many Catholics have forgotten it. Too many Catholics do not see the church as a divine institution, but rather as a mere human one, and that's probably because so many priests, bishops, and cardinals, and even popes are behaving as though the church is merely a social justice institution trying to create heaven on earth. Our Lord never promised to do away with poverty. Our Lord never promised to do away with disease. Our Lord never promised any of those things. Only Antichrist will make those promises, and Antichrist will deliver on them temporarily, which is why too many will be fooled by Antichrist. And so, for an evaluation of your own conscience, consider the reality, the question for yourself: are you a wheat, a stalk of wheat, or are you a weed in the church? Remember, evil is something that occurs because man chooses to cooperate with it. God never desired evil to exist. Evil, the absence of good, has its source in the fallen angel Satan. And so when men choose to do evil, that's how evil enters into the church, because God respects man's free will. To evaluate your conscience on whether you are wheat or weed, consider when our Lord explains the parable. He who sows good seed, says the Lord, is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of the kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear. So in that explanation, that's how you'll evaluate your conscience, to see if you are wheat or weed. And this is going to be harder for some to acknowledge, because obviously everyone wants to say they're wheat. And they're planted, bearing much fruit, doing much good for the church, the kingdom of God on earth. But the reality is, when the Lord establishes what weeds are, we may not be so ready to accept ourselves as wheat. Because initially we'll say to ourselves, with what Jesus said here, evildoers are the weeds. Those who do evil. Those who commit sins, unrepentant. That's obvious. That's true. But what he says first is far more telling, because it's far more subtle. He describes weeds not only as evildoers, but he even says first, all who cause others to sin. All who cause others to sin. In the great understanding of the church, this is most often sins of omission, where we should have done something but we didn't. But it can also be a commission. That is to say, when you consider what the church teaches in her moral theology. Take, for example, any Catholic who is wheat has suffered because he worked hard not to cause others to sin. What is the most common example? When, after the Second Vatican Council, suddenly the church's marriage laws were readily abandoned, that's where you're going to find most Catholics who either suffer or who cause others to sin. In other words, that's a prime example of where they are wheat or weeds. The wheat are the ones that are always mistreated. They're the good Catholic who, when Junior is on his third marriage, and everybody wants to keep the peace and say, well, you know, this time it's going to work, you need to come to that marriage. And the good Catholic family says, no. It makes a mockery of the great sacrament of holy matrimony, a sacrament which belongs to Christ and his church, not to any couple. And to mock marriage as a sacrament is to mock Christ. And so a good Catholic knows, I'm not going to go to a wedding where a Catholic is divorced and is getting remarried. I'm not going to go to a mock marriage where a Catholic is bound by form, according to church law, but he chooses to get married outside the church because the family doesn't like the Catholic Church, or he stopped practicing and he wants to get married in a field with the sky as his cathedral ceiling, etc., etc. Good Catholics know not to go to those things, because they make a mockery of the sacrament of holy matrimony, and therefore they make a mockery of Jesus Christ, who made it a sacrament. The wheat suffer. What do the weeds do in that situation? It's more important to keep the peace. It's more important to keep a line connected to those people so that they won't get lost. So, in other words, what they're saying is, you go right ahead and mock Jesus Christ. He won't mind. You go right ahead and mock the sacrament of holy matrimony. It won't undercut anything. The church teaches that when you cooperate in the sins of another, you are guilty not only of that, but you're guilty of the very sin that person has committed. You know, sometimes it's easy for us as priests to think that it's going to be a lot harder for us at Judgment Day. I think in some ways I'd be more frightened to face the judgment seat of Christ as a parent. I really would. Because when you stand for the judgment seat of Christ, God is going to show you everything that you missed in communicating the faith to your children. And he's going to show you every effect that had on your children and your children's children and your children's children's children. You'll see all the way down throughout history how you're refusing to communicate the faith, to teach the faith, because you thought it would be more loving to let your children do this, to let your daughter marry someone you knew she shouldn't marry. You thought it'd be more loving to go along with it and to go to the marriage. Or if she does get divorced and decides to marry some man that she's sure she loves, even though she hasn't gotten anything rectified with the church, and you said, oh, it's okay, I mean, it's love, isn't it? And it can be worked out later on. Or even the times when you allow the children to do the little things that were bad, which then eventually taught them that they could do larger things that are bad. You will render an account for that before the judgment seat of Christ. What an awesome responsibility God has given to parents. Because each child is a reflection of you. And how they live their lives reflects how you lived yours. And how they live their Catholic life is always, whether you like it or not, a reflection of how you lived your Catholic life. And if you see something lacking in them, guess what? There was something lacking in you. And you may pray for their conversion. A smarter step, I think, would be to pray to God for reparations where you fell short, where you may have caused another to sin by being indifferent or negligent with regards to communicating the Catholic faith. The most important thing you should have taught to your children is the Roman Catholic faith. More so than the value of money. More so than the reality of good manners. It's the most important thing you would teach your children. And when you don't teach them the faith, you cut them off from grace. And guess what happens when they're cut off from grace? They sin more easily. Who caused them to sin? You as a parent, if you failed in communicating the faith, if you failed in teaching it, and if you failed in actually living it out. You come home every night and curse up a storm in front of your children. How does that teach your children to hallow God's name? You come back and brag about how you cheated a customer or cheated on your taxes or lied your way out of something. How does that teach your children that the commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, has any meaning? Parents are not vigilant enough. And I'll wager some who are older, who have adult children, now recognize how they were not vigilant at all. Repent of it. It's not too late, because if you don't repent of it, it will come back to haunt you at the judgment seat. Do reparation for it. Do atonement for it. And go out of your way to live your Catholic faith more thoroughly, more directly. And be brave enough to call your children back to living the faith as it's supposed to be lived. And living the order of things it's supposed to be lived. The order of charity. So yes, that's just one example of how oftentimes we can be weeds rather than wheat. Wheat produces fruit. The effects of it are seen. Weeds do nothing but absorb nutrients and take up space and just multiply themselves. Evil multiplies so easily, and that's why we're seeing it in the church today. Too many Catholics have lost their supernatural faith. Too many Catholics think that money and a sense of control of your life and a sense of how everything is ultimately in my hands and not in the hands of divine providence. It's made Catholics abandon the faith in droves, and they'll continue to do so during this whole COVID-19 farce. And so consider the reality of, are you wheat or a weed? Because if you are wheat, then God has given you the grace to do so. And pray for more graces to produce much more fruit. And look at your children and see how they are coming along with regards to their Catholic faith. Obviously, a child learns at its own level. And I don't expect every single one of them to be as great as St. Augustine when they're only 5 and 6. But it's just, you can tell if they're living the faith. You can tell if they're taking it seriously. You can tell. And typically that's because you are. Whereas if you're one of those parents who abandoned your post, or was too afraid of your child not loving you that you would not communicate the faith to them, or you were too afraid that they wouldn't love you because you were going to call them out for sinning and they didn't want to receive that from you, which meant, of course, they were dishonoring you as mother and father. Too many parents forget the authority they have because they forget that commandment. Bottom line is, repent of it. Repent of the past errors. Repent of being a weed. And ask the Lord to transform you into wheat. Ask Him to transform you to bear much fruit. Instead of constantly praying for the conversion of your children, pray first to repent of where you failed them And then secondly, pray for the graces to be the instrument of their conversion instead of expecting God to do it himself. Because therein lies the key to producing fruit. It's not that God lets the farmer sit back and do nothing, but God requires the farmer to work in the field. Praying for the conversion of your adult children in particular, don't simply pray for that. Pray that you're the instrument. Pray for the graces to be the one who converts them. But if you don't repent of your past mistakes, your past sins, of causing others to sin, graces will not flow through you. Cleanse yourself of the past history of sin. Confess it if you have not, and be free of it. Do reparation, atonement for it, and then pray for the courage to love your adult children enough to call them back to Christ, lest you end up being a weed doing nothing and then causing them to sin. Because remember what our Lord said he will do to those weeds that cause others to sin. Not just the sinning children, the adult children who are actually doing evil by their sinful lives, but those parents who stood by and watched it happen, allowed it to happen, let it happen. They're both going to be put into bundles by the angels and cast into the fire. These are the words of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.